The first lesson is from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, is on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Titus. We read from the second chapter, verses 11 through 14. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of Bethlehem, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn.
Thank you.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Christmas flower? Yes.
These are poinsettias. They are often associated with Christmas. They have a long history and legend about them. You know where they might be from in this world. Where would you first find poinsettias? Mexico. Very good. Do you know what they're called? Do you know where they're from? You were in that third grade? Or not? Well, you're in third grade, so of course you would learn that this year. Apparently, that's part of the third grade curriculum.
Oh, no, my friend just told me.
Yeah. Well, the Nahuatl people, indigenous to that part of Mexico, had a different name for them. They called them Quetzalcoatl, which means flower that withers. Yeah, which if you touch them, if you touch them just gently, see those leaves are kind of delicate. So that name, I think it makes sense. And another part of the legend around them, why we keep them around for Christmas, is they say that in Mexico, long ago, there was a little girl and her name was Pepita. And Pepita was very poor. She couldn't afford to bring something to church to offer the baby Jesus. They had a little statue there that people would go and they would use that as a symbol to talk to Jesus, pray to him. And so as she was on her way, she was really quite sad. She was crying. She didn't know what she was going to do. And then she saw an angel. And the angel said to her, "You know what, Pepita? Just pick up some weeds. Just some ordinary weeds by the side of the road." So she listened to the angel, she gathered some weeds, and when she took them to church and she laid them at the baby Jesus' feet, they weren't weeds anymore. They got turned into these beautiful flowers, bursting green and red, and they call them, gosh, lost it. They are Flores de la Noche Buena, so Flowers of the Holy Night.
I don't know that.
Don't know that? Now you know. And one more thing about these flowers, and another thing that's neat about them for Christmas, is that they represent the story of Jesus' life. So what kind of shape do the flower petals make?
A circle?
They're spread around the center part. They kind of look like a star, right?
Yeah.
It's a little easier to see when you look at the ones that are farther away. There's pollen in there, yeah, in the middle. That's what the star goes around.
Pollen
kind of looks like little cactuses. Pollen kind of kind of reminds you it's from Mexico. Bees and hummingbirds and all of those critters that like nectar, they would like to
get inside.
How would they get inside? Well, when you find bees in Mexico, they're usually out in nature, not inside. We take them and bring them inside.
But why are they just normal bees but red?
They're very bright, bright, beautiful red. So the red stars, the stars represent the star the Magi followed find baby Jesus and bring him gifts. And these green represent everlasting life. And the color red represents the blood that Jesus would shed, but also his mother Mary, when she gave birth to baby Jesus.
And then the white is the snow.
The white is snow? Actually, the white represents the purity and innocence.
What is the white?
It's easier to see the white sea on this one. Not all of them show the white. Yeah.
What does the yellow represent?
The yellow? That represents that there's a middle here with pollen.
It represents that Jesus got made on the yacht of the water.
Wait, what about
that? Well, I want to thank you for coming up here and joining with me and having all kinds of wonderful questions. I like that you're inquisitive. Yeah, you have one more question?
I think spiders
really like these questions. More of a comment than a question.
I think
zoo, there can be spiders hiding under the leaves. Well, that's a good warning to those who brought me, said Yes. Well, thank you for gathering with me, and Merry Christmas.
Tis the season. Tis the season for Christmas movies. Most of us have our favorites, some that we watch every year. It's A Wonderful Life. For me, one of mine, The Muppet Christmas Carol. It's popular in my generation. I invited my youngest to curl up with me and introduced him to that one just the other night. For others, it's A Christmas Story with Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB rifle. And there's an inflatable of Will Ferrell's elf in our driveway. And some will always envy Clark Griswold's Christmas-like display. But now I ask you to take a moment and close your eyes and play in your mind your own little movie of A Christmas Story. What you see might be influenced, of course, by the scriptures, but also by art that you've seen, a lot from the medieval period. Art that you might have seen in books, little illustrations, stories that you've been told. Just watch that movie for just a moment. And when I watch this movie in my head without a whole lot of deep or critical thought, I think I see what something that looks like a picture in a children's book. The sky is a certain shade of blue, and there's a big, solitary, white star up in the sky. Mary is wearing blue. She's riding on a donkey. I know that's not actually in the scripture, but I see her on one. And Joseph is leading that donkey by its reins. It's really quiet. There's nobody to be seen except for the little holy family. And there's people in the little buildings in that little town, one town, the cobblestone street. People are, I don't know, probably asleep in their beds. It doesn't really matter. They're extras. Open your eyes. Your movie might have looked a little different from mine, but probably somewhere similar, I suspect. Now go back, look at your movie, and if you start to play a soundtrack over it, what kind of music might you hear? I would tend to pick something kind of soft, gentle, maybe a little instrumental version of something like we just sang or heard. A Little Town of Bethlehem. Maybe Silent Night. But if I switch the station from Disney, so to speak, over to the History Channel, now I might find a less sentimental scene. The Holy Family is hard to make out among crowds pouring into this little town for the night. Everybody just trying to find a little room where there simply isn't enough. There's no music. Nobody is sleeping peacefully, but a cacophony of human voices and animal noises and creaking doors swinging open and shut ring throughout the streets. It's dirty. People are tired, and they're cranky, and they're a little unnerved about how this whole official imperial count thing is going to go down. And then if I flip to the 24-hour news channel, I get a very different scene from Bethlehem. Some of the buildings look about the same, but now there are some very old and beautiful churches among them, mosque minarets, and the West Bank barrier wall. But it is quiet. And there aren't any Christmas lights. Star Street in the old city is not decorated as it is most years. Church bells echoed through the mostly empty streets. There were services a few hours ago in most, if not all, of the 53 churches in town. But outside their walls, virtually no sign that it's Christmas. There are no visitors from abroad, and the mood is one of mourning. Headlines have proclaimed for weeks that Christmas is canceled in Bethlehem this year, but as with many story titles, that's only partly true. The 9 patriarchs and heads of the churches in Jerusalem, our sister church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in the Holy Land, Jordan, among them, their leaders have still shared Christmas greetings with the faithful around the world this year. In doing so, they acknowledge that warfare has brought unimaginable suffering for literally millions in our beloved Holy Land, but also that it was into such a world that our Lord Himself was born in order to give us hope. That during the first Christmas, the situation was not far removed from today. The Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph had difficulty finding a place for their son's birth. There was, in short order, by Herod's order, the killing of children. There was military occupation. And there was the Holy Family becoming displaced themselves as refugees. Outwardly, there was no reason for celebration other than the birth of the Lord Jesus. But that birth is no mere consolation. Those same bishops laud a divine message of hope and peace the Nativity inspires within each of us, even in the midst of suffering. Parish pastors there in that part of the world proclaim with faith that remaining churches in Gaza are finding ways to gather and share in that hope that defies all odds and all reason, even as they're surrounded by rubble. In Jerusalem, the Lutheran bishop, Dr. Sani Ibrahim Azar, concluded his message for Christmas, saying, "Through God alone, we have peace. God is larger than our human understanding, and our hope must lie with Him. The violence and suffering we see today comes at the hands of humans, for reasons belonging to a human timeline and human understanding. But even if we cannot fully understand God, through the birth of Jesus, we know that we are loved by a God who understands us fully. And so we may have faith that true peace and justice will come at God's hand, and we may not give up hope. Despite everything, we believe that God holds the future. And we know this because on that night in Bethlehem, God sent Jesus to be born and to live among God's people, to suffer and to die, and to rise again to defeat the powers of sin and death. Jesus taught us, the bishop said, to love our neighbors as ourselves. He taught us to pray, so that we will love and we will pray in the name of Jesus who overcame the world. The sending song there was an Arabic Christmas carol, Laylat al-Milhad, which translated its words into English, tell us what we might do to share in and to build this hope that our sisters and brothers in Christ maintain in such tragic circumstances. When we offer a glass of water to a thirsty person, we are in Christmas. When we clothe a naked person with a gown of love, we are in Christmas. When we wipe the tears from weeping eyes, we are in Christmas. When we cushion a hopeless heart with love, we are in Christmas. I don't know the tune to that carol. But when I let those words wash over that idyllic image of Christmas I first held in my mind, I see a holy family on their way that is not alone. The people who are around them, behind the walls, they're not an afterthought. There are no extras in God's story. Only the children who God loves and knows and who always matter. And God is with them. God is among them just as God, Emmanuel, is with us and among us. And in him there is peace. Amen. Amen.